Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. This being a Christmas time and focus more on the Lord, we focus on the Lord all the time, but I was thinking more on the Christmas stories. But as I think of Christmas, as I think of Jesus Christ, He's a Savior for sinners. How many are glad you're saved tonight? Say amen. Now notice Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now go over to 1 Timothy, find 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul writes to young Timothy here in 1 Timothy, and he shares us something here. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he said, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul said he was the chief of sinners, but he said Christ came into the world to save sinners. And here's the most wonderful kind of salvation, a salvation for sinners. The Bible said in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Turn with me to the book of James for a moment, chapter 4. I've run into a lot of people over the years who've looked at me with a straight face, and when I go through the plan of salvation with them, and they'll say, "I've never sinned." I don't know if you've run into that. I've run into it a lot. And sometimes if people think of sin as vile and sin as all these wicked things, which it is. But notice James 4:17. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Sin is failing to do the right thing. It's not just doing something wrong. There's disobedience, and sometimes, and when you think of disobedience, it doesn't have to be the things we think are vile or wicked. When I was a kid, and when you adults were kids, your parents ever tell you to do something and you say, "Yes, sir, I will," or "Yes, ma'am," and you don't do it, you get in trouble. And that's not somebody defying mom or dad or anything, but knowing to do the right thing and don't doing it is sin. Look over in Romans 14:23. Look over in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. You ever doubt sometimes in your heart? You ever pray and in your heart you go, "I don't know if God's going to answer this"? Romans 14:23, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith." Notice, "for whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Sin is not only doing the wrong thing, it's missing the mark. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But sin is failing to do the right thing. Sin is even doubting and lacking in faith. And the fact is, salvation's for everyone. That's a wonderful thing. The Bible doesn't talk about salvation from personal problems. And there's a lot of people who think, "If I get saved, all my problems will be over." The Bible doesn't say that either. The Bible doesn't talk of salvation from prolonged sickness or from war or ignorance or from bad government. But it talks about salvation from sin, because we're all sinners. And Jesus came into this world to die for sinners. You know, there's a deadlier evil that's behind all the other evils in this world, and the Bible calls it sin. This world we live in is in a state of social upheaval, financial upheaval, and behind all of it lies the agony of sin. But the world oftentimes puts its hope on a big reformer. We had an election not long ago, and there was a big change in the Congress and the Senate. Is that the answer to the world's problems? No. It might help somewhat, but the answer to the world's problems is Jesus Christ. That's the total bottom line answer to everything. We can have good governments and we can have bad governments. Back at the time of Israel here, they were under oppression from Rome. A lot of the Jewish zealots were looking for a savior to come and deliver them from political oppression more than from the oppression of sin. Some people put their hopes, like I said, in a big reformer, a businessman, a banker, a big diplomat, a dictator, a wizard, a politician. Yet all the time what this world needs is Jesus Christ. And you know something? It's every born-again believer's job to go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our job to do that. If you don't tell them and I don't tell them, who's going to tell them? And a lot of times I run into people that they don't tell them because maybe they lack confidence. What if I share Christ with them and they won't listen? Well, I guess they don't listen. Everybody Jesus talked to about salvation didn't listen. Well, what if they get mad at me? Well, people got mad at Jesus, did they not? They wanted to arrest him. They wanted to stone him. They didn't like what he said. It doesn't matter, but we can talk in kindness. You can use tact. You can use whatever, but not everybody's going to believe you and I. They didn't all believe Jesus Christ, but Christ alone is the hope that anyone can receive. But he's the most wonderful kind of Savior. Look over here in Romans chapter 5. We're in Romans 14. Back up to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. Paul writes here to the church at Rome, and in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, "But God commendeth his love." That word commendeth means showed. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It's a fantastic verse. All of them are really fantastic. To stop and think, you know, there's a lot of people in this world that do not know that God loves them. There's a lot of people that look at this world and they think that God's a meanie looking to squash them and go, "Yeah, you messed up." No, that's not God. God loves us. He hates our sin, but he loves us. And when Jesus went to the cross, he died for all of our sins. Back up in verse number 6. You ever meet somebody that you think's impossible? Somebody that you think, I've had people tell me over the years that, "Pastor, don't waste your time on that person. They're just, you never win them to the Lord." Maybe I won't, but I figure I got to try. Romans 5, 6, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died." What does it say he died for? For all the good people. Doesn't it say that? What does it say? Ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. That could be the unsaved, the impious. It could also mean the wicked. He died for people. He paid the price for their sin on the cross of Calvary. And as we look at this Christmas season, as we approach this, the whole thing is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I like the Christmas carols, so we're going to go upstairs and have chili, and I like to have a Christmas tree and have presents. And if it were to snow, the kids like to go out in the wintertime and make snowmen and throw snowballs at each other. There's a lot of things to do and a lot of fun and being with family and friends. And those are wonderful times. We get through all that, but if we do not share Christ with someone, we kind of miss the whole purpose of it. You know, to invite someone to church, to tell them about Jesus, to give them a gospel tract. I mentioned those candy cane things, and they're about all gone. Elaine stuck all those candy canes, and you looked on each one of those candy canes too, didn't you? I tease about that because there's about a friend of mine that I pulled a joke on your friend Brother Nordstrom about an apple taster. I'll have to tell you about that. Did you hear about it? I have to tell you about it, and I won't go through it now, but we sat and we looked. We were handing those out. I was down at different places. We went to Sweet Bee's at 16th and Summit View today. And all these people sitting there, and I had a bunch of those. I said, "Hey, can I leave you a candy cane? The story about the candy cane." Everybody took them. And people, when they left, thanked me. "Thank you for that. We enjoyed reading it. I didn't know anything about the candy cane." But they read it. The back, it's got our church name, address, a website, phone number, all that. It's planting seeds. Did something stupendous happen from it? Probably not. But it's sowing the seed. People were sitting there reading that little brochure. I was all through Helms Hardware last week, handing them out in the Red Apple and other places I can't remember, and some of you did too. I shared last week where I was playing pinochle with the seniors, and I gave everybody one, and I must have forgot this lady. I laid them on the counter with the snacks, and one lady said, I heard her two, three tables over. She said, "Where'd you get that?" And they told, "Well, Chuck brought them." And she said, "Oh, I didn't get one." And the lady said, "They're on the table." Right in the middle of her hand, she got up, ran over, and got one. You know what? It's just a little thing. But you got to find something to get the people will read. Does it got the full-blown plan of salvation? No, but it's sowing seeds. You could say it's good PR. But you know what? We have to try in large ways, small ways, and medium-sized ways to get the gospel out to people, to somehow, some way, reach them with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have a most wonderful Savior, that Jesus Christ. What love here in verse 8. He died in your place, and he died for you, and he died for me. And I think of what grace and what pardon and what forgiveness. He's a wonderful Savior. Who else would die in your place and my place? Nobody. Who else would pay for my sin or your sin? Nobody. Oh, what a wonderful friend we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, do we not? Nobody loves us like Jesus does. Well, let's go on down here. Here's the most wonderful message. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. I don't know if you left a marker there, but I read the verse a while ago, but we not only have a wonderful kind of salvation, a most wonderful kind, salvation from sin, a most wonderful Savior, but a most wonderful message. As I said, salvation's not from personal problems or prolonged sickness, war, ignorance, or bad government. I have met people, I've said this many times, they'll pray a prayer, they'll come to church once or twice, you don't see them, and you go back and you try to work with them, and they'll say, "Well, we were having marital problems or financial problems or problems," or they'll tell you what it was and said, we tried this religion thing. We prayed a prayer. We came a couple of weeks and we're still having problems. I said, that's not salvation. I call it a Band-Aid approach. It's somebody who tries something called religion. And religion isn't what saves a soul. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why he came to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So, most wonderful message. Go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He was not merely born, he came into this world. He pre-existed. Look in John chapter 1 and look in verse 1. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, that in the beginning precedes the beginning of Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word. That word, Word, in the Greek means the expression, the divine expression of God Himself. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. I go down in verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. But look in verse 12. When it talked, as a matter of fact, go back to verse 11. He came unto His own and His own received Him not. Not everybody Jesus came to believed. Not everybody He came to received Him as Savior. But verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's by faith. But notice the power to be saved is not in a person. It's in God. Jesus Christ, He has the power to forgive. He has the power to forgive sins and to save a soul. And who will He save? I read the verse before in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. I think I did, but He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word whosoever is a fantastic word, is it not? Whosoever. That anybody can be saved if they put their faith and trust. So we go off this Christmas season. And as we're sitting here tonight, and most of you are probably saved, you're probably sitting there thinking, Pastor, I'm saved. That's wonderful, but take the gift of God that we have received and share it. You give gifts at Christmas. Can you not offer someone the gift that God freely gives of salvation? Where they can't buy it, they can't steal it, you can't find it under a tree, but share with them the gift of eternal life of Jesus Christ. There's a world that is hurting out there. There's people that are hurting. There are people that are confused. What they need is Jesus Christ. Not religion, not a quick fix, but salvation, forgiveness of sin. You know, this Christmas with our trees and gifts and dinners and parties and so on, just remember, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be any Christmas. His coming to this earth was for a purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He wants to forgive people of all their sins. Look over in 1 John chapter 1. Actually, 1 John chapter 1 was written to believers. It applies to Christians, but yet the biblical principle is there also. Notice here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. John tells us in verse 8 that we do sin. If we say we don't, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But he said in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He, that's the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, notice that three-letter word, all unrighteousness. You know what? There isn't a sin that God cannot or will not forgive if we just ask. It's forgiveness is there for the asking and the believing in the heart. He says, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word pardon, cleansing, the slate is wiped clean, just as if it never happened. We have a wonderful God, do we not? Amen. Now, this Christmas, as you share gifts, share God's gift with others. And sometimes we get busy in everything that we do. And I think of a God who took time out for you and I come into this world to be a Savior for us to take time to share the love and grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ with others. We have a wonderful Savior, a Savior for sinners. I've shared many times, but I've dealt with people who, over the years, have said to me, not now, some other time, maybe later. Number of people who've told me they don't sin. Anybody besides me ever run into that? Maybe because a preacher, you deal with people. Anybody else? You ever run into somebody who said they didn't sin? Stan has, my wife has. Anybody else? They don't sin. You have? The thing of it is, and I remember this one fellow back in Wisconsin, a dairy farmer. His wife got saved watching our TV program. I probably shared this before umpteen times. But we're sitting at his dining room table. And we're talking about the Lord. talking about salvation. He said, "Pastor, I'm a good man." He said, "I pay my debts." He said, "My handshake is my bond. I'm honest. I do a good job. I don't fudge on my records here with the dairy company when he milks the cows and keeps the record. I love my wife with all my heart, and I treat her good, and I love my kids. I provide for them." He said, "I've never sinned a day in my life." He wasn't being a smart aleck. We sat and we talked for quite a while at his dining room table, and the Holy Spirit led me to that verse I read you in James, and I said to the guy, I said, "Judson, I said, you've never sinned, but have you ever failed to do something that you shouldn't do?" "Oh, yeah, I have a few times. Something I knew I should have done and didn't." I turned to James 4:17. "If a man knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We're sitting there, and I had the Bible open. He was sitting next to me. He reached over and grabbed that, and he said, "Where's that?" And I said, "Right there." And he read it. And he looked at me, and I said, "What do you think?" And he said, "I'm a sinner. I need to get saved." You never know what it takes, but let me tell you this. I don't care how good people are without Jesus Christ. And I say that because I run into so many people and even some folks at our church that say, "Well, I've got a neighbor. They're wonderful people. They must be saved." That doesn't mean they're saved because they're wonderful people. It means they're wonderful people. They need Jesus Christ. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he was a good man, a righteous man, ruler in the synagogue. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again or you'll not see the kingdom of heaven." Jesus Christ is a wonderful Savior for sinners, and that's why he came into the world, because he loves people. He hates our sin, but he loves us. And he loves your neighbors, your co-workers. He loves your enemies. He loves your in-laws, your outlaws, and everybody else that you run into. What they need is Jesus Christ. Let's stand tonight.